if you weren't there or weren't there last week, it will be on the website for you to download if you're part of the church or interested in who we are and what we're about. Also, the website gives a clear indication of our vision as well. But this evening, I'm speaking about more, not so much to do with our vision as our value, which is also part of our vision, as we'll see in a minute. And I'm going to talk a bit about tonight about worship. And I've called it Where Eagles Dare. And we're going to have a snapshot. It's just going to be a little glimpse of worship, because I understand worship is such a broad, overwhelming subject when we begin to look at how big it can be. But sometimes we have to bring it down to the simplicity of that. So before we start, let's just pray. So Lord Jesus, we pray now that you would illuminate these words. Lord, we pray that you'd bring your power to them. We pray that you'd sharpen up this word and enable us to hear the very things which are on your heart. We thank you, Lord, for your invitation to be like the eagle, Lord, to be lifted up on the thermals, to be taken to the high places. And thank you, Lord, that it's not by might or by power, but by your Spirit. It's as we respond to your invitation, Lord, that you lead us into these places. And so I pray now, Lord, that you would come and speak to us through me and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I just want to read this prayer from Ephesians 3. It says this: For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so, Lord, I want to pray that this word will fill us up with your love and with your power. Lord, I pray that anything that blocks us from receiving your love and receiving the understanding of sonship and daughtership, I pray tonight, Lord, you'll break those down, so that we'd know how passionate you're about us, Lord, as a people. Thank you, Father. So one of the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." And so one of the teachers of law was asking Jesus, as they often did, often trying to catch him out. And they're asking a question that Jesus answered very succinctly. Basically, he's asking about worship. And Jesus replies, firstly to Israel, it says, "The Lord our God is one God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Then the second is this: "Love your neighbor as yourself." See, God wants to extend our vision of worship. He wants to release us into a greater freedom in our worship. It is through worship that we get a fuller understanding of who Christ is, his nature, his character. And as we enter into worship with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, God begins to chisel his nature and character into his people. And we begin to take on the family likeness. Learning to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind and all our strength. Learning to love our neighbor and learning to love ourselves. And Jesus teaches on worship when he has when he meets up with a lady at the well, and he reveals to her something of worship. He says this: "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. See, the time is coming, and the time has come. The time has come. The true worshippers, the worship that the Father seeks, will be worshipping the Father in spirit and truth, for that is what God is looking for. God is looking for true worshippers, shaped by his word, which is his truth, and also fashioned and revealed by his spirit. True worship is shaped by scripture, by God's word, by God's truth. And it's also God reveals himself through his spirit. The Holy Spirit makes God's truth known to us by his spirit. See, worship is God initiated. It says this, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us." And it's God's revelation to us of himself first is where worship begins. Because worship is our response to God's love. In the same way as the eagle responds to the wind, we learn to respond to God's love. When a flower opens up in the warm rays of the sun, it begins to become what it was intended to be. You see, God wants to pour his love upon his people. And so often, we can miss that. God wants to open us up like a flower in the sun. As we come into his presence, God wants to reveal something of himself. And a few years ago, I was out in America, and I was working on a retreat place for, it's a discipleship course for 3 months, and it's up in the mountains in California. And it's a fantastic place. It overlooks a huge, great valley, and it was a ranch, and there's mountains everywhere. There was kind of woods going up into the hills. And there's a guy there, a guy called Doug, who I got to know, and he was about 6'5". He was an ex-gang member. He was a person who came to know the Lord. And when we were there, we really began to get to know each other, and we began to really get on well with each other. And he was quite a new Christian, and I'd been a Christian for a reasonable amount of time. But when you have a period of time away from the humdrum of working, and you have to take the time away, you begin to hear God clearer, I do anyway. And while we were there, we started just beginning to pray together and getting to know each other. And we used to go out on these long walks, and we used to walk along these different trails, and we used to begin to climb up into the mountains. And one day, we climbed up this mountain, and we began to sit on this ledge that overlooked this valley. And as we sat there, we began to share together, to pray together. And as we began to pray together, we began to start, you know, just bringing things to the Lord, that things we'd done in our past that we weren't particularly proud of. And we began to lay down some of the things that, you know, as God brought to us at that particular period of time. And then another time we climbed up the mountain again. And as we used to go out together, we used to get higher and higher up this mountain. Until one day we decided to pack a bag full of sort of cans of Coke and stuff and food and a stereo and etc. And we climbed one day right up into the mountain. And we climbed right up to the very top of this mountain, which oversaw the whole of the valley. And we made a clearing. We got these rocks out, and we made a kind of fire. And I realized it probably wasn't the best thing to do. I don't know if you heard on the news about all the fires that are happening in California. Well, it wasn't me, but that's the kind of thing that causes it. But we built a fire, which we later found out that we should never have done. And we put on some worship music on, and we just began to enjoy the presence of God. We began to enjoy God's creation. We began to enjoy just praying and just being in God's presence. And from there, you could see into the sky, because it used to be beautiful, clear nights. And because you're in a kind of desert location, it gets quite cold at night. And so we're there, and we were just enjoying being in God's presence. And as we're coming down the mountain later on, after we've been up there for quite a considerable period of time, we began to walk down these trails, and as we walked down these trails, just felt suddenly the presence of the Lord fell upon us. And the presence of the Lord was so powerful that we could no longer just stand up. And so we're both lying on these paths, right on these trails, kind of looking up like this. And I just felt the presence of God like I've never felt before. And I felt as if the purity of God began to pass over us. And it's a bit like a balloon. When you see an air balloon going just gently, quietly, as it passed over us, we began to see, just began to sense God's presence, His holiness, His love. Suddenly I was disarmed and we're there lying on these paths. And as I was lying there, my friend Dougie shouted out, "Hey, John Boy," as he used to call me. He goes, "We've never been so strong." And what he meant by that was that we'd become nothing. And God had become everything. Suddenly, God had broken into my world. God suddenly revealed His love to me. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And that revelation to me brings within me something that I want to give back to God. See, worship is God initiated. Worship is our response to God's revelation of Himself. When I was still out in America, a friend of mine, we travelled up to Arizona, up through the desert, up into the Grand Canyon. I don't know if any of you have been to Grand Canyon. It's an incredible place to be. And we drove up overnight and we stayed at a hotel. And while we were staying in the hotel, we got up early in the morning to drive out towards the canyon. And as we're driving out towards the canyon, I'm always quite disappointed when people say to you, "It's absolutely massive, you know." Well, when you go there, it's huge. And when you go there, it's slightly disappointing. I don't know about that. If you ever get that, do you ever get that? You're kind of really hopeful that it's what people say it is. And you get there, and you think, "Oh, is that it?" So anyway, we drove towards the Grand Canyon, and we drove across past the car park, and there was a car park, and there's arrows going towards these vistas where you can view over the canyon. So we kind of parked the car, got out, and I was kind of looking forward to be disappointed. And I climbed up onto this place, and I overlooked. Suddenly, I stood at this thing. And, wow. It's absolutely overwhelmed by the size of this canyon. It's absolutely unbelievable. And so I'm one of those people that just wanted to sort of get down into the middle of it and, you know, just to really explore it. So we drove down to this hotel and we're told that we shouldn't go down there because it wasn't long enough time to get down to the bottom and back again. So I thought, fantastic challenge. So me and my friend, we began to sort of jog gently down the hill, and not the hill, down the cliff actually, these cliff paths, as the donkeys were coming back up the other direction, which are people who come down on donkeys. And we got down to the base of the Grand Canyon, and we walked through this place called the Indian Garden. Then we walked through this place into this really big flat area. Then we walked down towards, there's a massive great river that goes down the bottom there. And as I stood at the bottom, I just began to look around, and I just saw the expanse around me. And I just felt this whole, how insignificant I was, and how amazing this space was. And as I was standing there, I felt the Lord said to me this: "When I created this, I knew one day you'd be standing here." That suddenly wakens you up to a big God, doesn't it? It suddenly wakens you up to God, who's huge, who wants a relationship with you and with me. It suddenly gives us a glimpse of God's love. It gives us a glimpse of the normality of what God wants to do for us. Because they're not the kind of words you think. That was a word from the Lord to me, His Son. Because like you and like me, He loves each one of us. See, love grows and revelation of God grows as we take time to bask in God's presence. In Ephesians 1:17 it says this: "I keep asking the Lord that the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better." And God's intention is that you know Him. You know His love. You know His plans for you. You know that He's for you. He's with you. And it's out of that generosity from God that we begin to express something of our gratitude. And that's for me what worship is. It's a response to what Christ has done for us. It's a response to what Christ has done for us upon the cross. It's a response to His generosity to each one of us. And at the end of June, over the summer, I felt the Lord had... I just really felt that I should go out to Israel, as you do. There's a conference out there called the One Thing Conference in Jerusalem, which was one... When I looked up, what on earth, One Thing Conference? What a strange name. And then I realized what it's... I realized it's from Psalm 27. It says this: "One thing I ask the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." And one of the reasons I wanted to go to Israel, one was because I wanted to get away from, just have some time out, just a time just to be with God, because doing this sort of job can be very busy and very demanding. And to have some time on your own, to have some time just to receive and to be with God, is an amazing thing, and it's something that we as leaders need to continually build into our lives. But the reason why I felt God lead me to Israel was, as I began to explore this conference, I felt the Lord say to me, "I want you to go and to remember." And I thought, well, what am I to remember? And before coming to Core Church, and before being here, we've been here just over 2.5 years now. Prior to coming here, my wife and I have been very much involved with worship. We've done worship all over the place. We've led worship in churches, in all over the place. And being here, we've had to kind of lay a lot of that down in order to settle in and to facilitate the vision. But I really feel that Lord is really calling us back into that place of engaging, being part of the worship in this church. And the great thing about being at this conference was we had Kevin Prosh and David Roos were leading the worship. And so it's an amazing time of just being in God's presence. And there's nothing better than, worshipping Jesus in His backyard, is it, in Jerusalem? Absolutely incredible. But to actually get to Israel was not as straightforward as I thought it was. I was really excited. I was really looking forward to going away. I was really looking forward to having a time out and everything. And so I got on a plane from Dublin to London, and then I was hoping to go from London to Tel Aviv. But I went from Dublin to London, and as I arrived in London, the plane was delayed. And so I had to spend the night sleeping on the airport floor. I don't know if you ever see on the news, when at holiday times, you see all those people queuing up on the waiting to go on holiday, and they can't, they're all sleeping on the floor. You think, phew, I'm really glad I'm not one of those. Well, I was. And it was, so I ended up having to sleep on the floor that night, and when you sleep in an airport, it's not the most exciting place to be. So the flight was delayed, and I didn't really sleep all night. And then the next day, I got on the plane, flew out to Israel, and the BA managed to lose all my luggage. So I was left with a night on the floor of the airport, and with no luggage other than the clothes I was wearing at the particular period of time. And BA are really, really generous. They give you a little pack with a little thing of toothpaste, a little bit of deodorant, a little comb, a little razor. And they give you everything you need for about half an hour. And that was to last about 4 or 5 days. And so I arrived in Israel thinking, oh my gosh, what on earth is going on here? And so I took a taxi to the place I was staying. And I just thought, well, I'm just going to make the most of this. This is a fantastic opportunity. I'm in Israel. What a superb place to be. So I thought, well, I can wash my clothes at night. I can go out and get a bit more deodorant and things. But what I want to make sure was I really was going to enjoy the time out there. So I arrived, and that evening I walked down from the hotel into the old city. And it's the most amazing thing, just walking through the old city, looking at Mount Zion, looking at the city of David, looking out over Israel, just walking around. And the most amazing thing, when I was in Israel, wherever I looked, I kept seeing eagles. Before I went out to Israel, I preached on eagles, and when I went out there, I could not stop seeing them. I saw them in the air. I'd look around and someone would go past like this, and there'd be an eagle on their t-shirt. I'd come back to my hotel room, turn on the TV, and it was a program about eagles. I'd go and visit a building, and as I was standing outside the building, there'd be two eagles made out of, been carved out in the rock. It's a bit like product placement, but with eagles. It's extraordinary. But when I reflected on my time away, is that God had stripped everything away. It wasn't comfortable sleeping on the airport floor. It was quite frustrating not having the clothes I had and everything that I would normally feel comfortable with. But it did not stop me doing what God had called me to do. And you see, for me, the eagle is a sign and symbol of the freedom that we have in Christ. The great thing about the eagle is that when it is flying, it's the image of that being led by the Spirit. It sees from a great height. It has incredible vision. It can see generally and very specifically. And as I was beginning to look at the eagle more and more, for me it was the image of what God wants to do with us in worship. So the eagle, for me, is the image of great freedom. The eagle is blown by the, is guided and directed by the Spirit. Jesus says, yet a time is coming when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and truth. And like the eagle, it's like the balance is this. We have the Spirit over here, and we have the truth, the Word of God over here. And to fly well, we need them in balance, don't we? And so when the Word is too much over here, and it can become hard and cold, or the Spirit can mean there's no definition on it. We kind of forget what God. But together, when the Word and Spirit come together, they're the perfect for lifting us up to what God has intended us to. And I believe that God wants us to get out of the box, to get out of the places that we have been contained in. He wants us to be led by the Spirit. He wants us to be directed by the breeze. And the Lord has shown me over the years a desire to expand the canvas so that God has more space to paint his pictures on. It says this, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and put their trust in the Lord. And when I was out in America, we used to go along and take a band out to it used to be a drug rehab unit. And it used to be a band of about four of us. And we used to go into this place where there's about 40 or 50 guys who are coming off all sorts of substances. And we went along there one day, and we set up a band, and we were a bit of a shoveled bunch of guys at the time. It wasn't a particularly great band, but we went there with a heart to worship the Lord and to do just that. And so we began to worship in this place, and a place full of people who were looking for something other than the lives they'd been before. And as we began to worship, and as we began to pray, the Spirit of the Lord began to work and move upon these people. And as the worship began to move, and the Spirit began to move through this place, one of the guys came up to me as I was leading and said to me, would it be right if I could say something? And I thought, oh my gosh, what's he going to say? But I thought, well, you know, you've got to trust him. So I said to him, well, you know, just say what you're going to say. And so he said that, you know, he came along in that evening not expecting anything. But he said he came in that evening, he said he suddenly felt the presence of God that he's never felt or never known before. And he says to his brothers and his sisters out there, and he said to them, Jesus is here this evening. I felt the presence of God this evening. And so in response to what had happened through the worship and through the word of this man, I then invited these guys to come forward just to receive Jesus. And the wonderful thing about those who hear good news it's great news to them. And so basically the whole lot of them got up, came forward, and they gave their lives to the Lord. But it's through worshipping God that He draws people to know Him and to Himself. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and put their trust in the Lord. God also wants to minister His power through music. It says this, "My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The utterance from my mouth will give understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp I will expound my riddle." Another time I was leading worship in a place called Southall in London. Southall was predominantly an Indian area, and we were invited to lead worship in this particular church. And we went into the church, and it was particularly, it was a very Indian church, and so we brought very kind of Western songs to it, and we led worship, and they're very gracious, and they joined in with it, but it really wasn't touching where they were at. And so we were, in the afternoon, I just really began to pray and just see what the Lord wanted to do. And I had my sister, who's a great keyboard player, my brother, who's a guitarist, and we were just sitting there, and we just began to play. And I felt the Lord say, just start singing, bring my harp so I can prophesy, which seems a really weird thing to do. And as we began, we began to worship, and then we began to start playing sounds and music over them. And I've got this kind of setup where you can click it, and you can get these just incredible sounds that we're going to bring into church sometime and begin to do ministry in the church. But these incredible sounds just began, and as the music began to play, people began to be caught up in the worship. And so it wasn't about these rigid songs that we had brought to them. Suddenly people were engaging with the Spirit of God. Suddenly people were being led into the presence of the Lord. And when I opened my eyes, all I could see were people lying on the floor. And it's like God's presence had come. And another time I was in a church in Luton, St. Hughes, and we were just playing one evening, and we just began to play kind of like the prophetic worship, and began to start playing these songs and using these different sounds and all that kind of stuff. And suddenly again, the Spirit of the Lord moved in that place, and again, people were disarmed from the way they'd normally expect, and they kind of came in with expectations and went out knowing the love and power of God. And I believe the Lord, as a church, wants to begin us to move into a new time where eagles dare. And what I mean by that is stepping out in the Spirit, stepping out in the prophetic, stepping out with sounds, stepping out with percussion, stepping out with movement, stepping out with the arts. Because it's through these that God expresses something of His nature and character. And I've seen it time and time again as God reveals to us something through His worship. And there's a lot of other stuff which I could go into, which I'm not going to go into now, but I'm just going to summarize now as we begin to draw it in. It says in Revelation 4, it says, I can find it. This is about John. He says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I'll show you what is to take place.' At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircling the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. And then it says, 'In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox.'" But the main thing here, what I really want to focus in on was, firstly, is that there was a door standing open in heaven. And I believe the Lord wants to open our eyes to what's going on in heaven. And then in this we see an image of Christ as it's described. And then we see the elders falling on the floor 24/7, worshipping, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come." And Hebrews 12, it says this, if I can find Hebrews 12. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. And I believe what the Lord wants to do is for us to move our eyes from what is happening here to what is happening there. It says that it says a window of heaven is opened. And I believe the Lord wants to open that window of heaven to us as a church and as a people. We want to learn how to worship by seeing how they do it in heaven. It's not that God joins us, we join them who are worshipping 24/7. They're already worshipping now. The invitation is to join with them in worshipping, to join with heaven's worship, to join with what God is doing in heaven. And to do that, you have to be moved by the Spirit. It says this. It says it was by the. If I put it as I come to close, it says. It says at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven. It's not by might or by power, but it's by God's Spirit. It's in the Spirit that the Lord opens the doors of heaven. It's in the Spirit that we gaze upon the worship of heaven. It's in the Spirit that we see the Lord high and lifted up. And God's invitation to us is to enter in to that worship. So let's pray. And so Lord Jesus, it's difficult to explain a lot of these things because they're not things which are easy to understand humanly, Lord, but I know from experience of your power, and from I've heard the sounds, I've seen the sounds, I've been part of the sounds, I've seen you do amazing things, I've seen people being delivered, I've seen people come to know you, I've seen people just the most amazing things as been led by the Spirit. And I want to pray this evening, Lord, that you would do a new work amongst us through the worship. I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see what is happening in heaven. I pray, Lord, that we would join with the angels worshipping 24/7. Lord, thank you for the invitation to the Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. And Lord, we want to learn what that means. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would bring something as we begin to learn how to do this, that you'll begin to bring your presence in a fresh way upon the earth. And I pray this evening, Lord, that you'll pour your love upon your people. And Lord, I pray now that you'd break any blockages or anything that says, oh, God doesn't love me, I don't deserve it. Jesus wants to show you how special you are to him. That when he created the world, he knew you. Even before the world, he knew you. Lord, let it come now, Lord. Let your love come this evening, Lord. Let your love bind up any pain. Let your love reconnect. Let your love be like a balm. And some of us here have come in like a tight bud, and all we can ever think is of the winter, and that it's the wrong season. But the Lord is coming now with His love, like on a sunny day, and the bud is responding to God's love. And as God's love is coming, the bud begins to open. It begins to blossom. It begins to reflect its maker. It begins to look beautiful. See, the winter is over, and the sound of singing has come, and flowers appear upon the earth. So what I want to do now is to invite those who have felt they've been in a winter, and the winter is never going to go away. And I want you to imagine a picture like in Narnia, where everything's covered in white and snow, and suddenly you hear, they say, Aslan's on the move. And as those words are echoed around Narnia, suddenly the ice begins to melt, and suddenly the flowers begin to take on as they intended. The white begins to melt and these beautiful colours come through. And I believe this evening it's like some people are stuck in the winter, but the Lord wants to bring, it's like He wants to bring His love, He wants to bring, it's like He wants to bring a different season than you're expecting. And so I just want to invite you to come now, because I think the Spirit of the Lord is powerful tonight. Not that it's not powerful at all, but I just want to encourage you now to come forward so we can invite the Lord to come and bring that to you now. So I know it's a bit of a challenge sometimes sitting down in your chair, but I just invite you to come forward, to step forward so that we can pray for you this evening, because I think it's a word of bringing God's love afresh to you, so you're not stuck in the winter, but you're back in that place of knowing God's love. So let's invite you to come forward. And it's unexpected season. You weren't expecting this. I know there's more of you, so just get up and come forward now so we can pray for you. Just saves time.